right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Week 4 edition of the show. I'm Bobby Fenton, and we've got a lot of fun planned today. It's a great week in Tampa Bay sports as we've got our Bucks at 2-1 getting ready to take on the Chargers on Sunday. It's a home game. There'll be a few fans there now. Originally, there weren't supposed to be. We got the Rays into the American League Division Series as the top seed in the AL. Going to take on the Yankees coming up. We got the Lightning, your Stanley Cup champions. And just before we get started with the show, you know, we're going to focus on the Bucks. Obviously, this is the Free Stretch. It's a Bucks show on Joe Bucks Fan. We talk about everything. And I just want to kind of mark this moment in time, not just for what the Lightning did the other night. I mean, the Lightning winning the Stanley Cup was incredible. And most of you listening here, I'm guessing, I mean, if you're listening to this, you're a Bucks fan. But many of you, I would imagine, are probably Tampa Bay sports fans, not just Bucks fans. Yeah, I'm willing to bet more than half of you are. So maybe you follow more than just the Bucks. You probably follow the Rays and the Lightning, too. And I've been a fan of all of our team. I've been born and raised here my whole life. I've been a fan of all of our teams since their existences, except for the Bucks, who predate me by about 4 years. And I've told the story many times how I was in my mom's womb for the 79 NFC Championship game when she went to the game. I was born in the summer of 1980. So I've been around for almost all the Bucks. I've been around for all the Lightning, all the Rays. I've never had any other favorite teams. I used to like the Cubs when I was a kid before we had a baseball team at all. But, I mean, Tampa Bay's teams are my teams. I'm a Tampa Bay guy. And so, you know, seeing all of their histories evolve and never having had them all be good at one time like this, and I don't know what's going to happen with the Rays or the Bucks. They certainly both look good and look like they have the potential to do something special. Certainly the Rays are doing, they're in the playoffs right now. The Bucks are still trying to get that far. But all three have done it or are doing it as we speak. And that's never happened before. But watching the Lightning win the Stanley Cup on Monday night, and you know, I was wondering what it was going to be like because this year is obviously so weird with COVID and it's not the same. We didn't have any playoff games at home. All the energy that comes with a playoff run was kind of confined to the living room. I had some people over Saturday and we did a big outside TV setup and had enough space out there to, you know, to distance and all that stuff. But we had like a big stadium atmosphere. It was great. We're hoping to watch the cup clincher then. It didn't happen. Happened Monday instead. And it was just me and my wife and my boy in the living room. And it felt a little weird at first, like thinking, you know, that this should be more like, there should be more energy. There should be more people. I should have people around. I'd had people at my house like three nights in, you know, in a row with the other Lightning games before that. So Monday night, you know, when they actually did clinch it, we were all just here. But as the clock was winding down and the whole thing started to become obvious, it was really happening, like they're going to win the Stanley Cup. I picked my boy up off the ground. And he was all fired up. I mean, he's 9. So the way I saw it, and he needs to be in bed. It's late. After the weekend we had especially, he needed sleep. But I said to myself, you know, who knows? I mean, he's 9. He could be 35 the next time any Tampa team wins another championship. You don't know. Like, you don't know just because the Rays are good or the Bucks are good. I mean, it was 16 years since the last one. So that's a childhood right there. That he might go his whole childhood, and this is the only championship. We didn't have any during my childhood. The first championship we had was the Bucks, and that was when I was 22, just out of college. So I want him to remember this. So I said, you know what, buddy? Well, first of all, we got pots and pans, and we went outside and banged them in the backyard when the Lightning won. And then I said, you know what? Let's get in the car. I don't live that far from downtown. I said, let's go be a part of it. Let's go down to the plaza, check things out. And I know you already are way past your bedtime, so we might as well just double down and make it even more past your bedtime. So we went down there. And mostly, yeah, actually, I guess I should, you know, my son's 9, I'm 40, and the group of people that was down there at the plaza going crazy was way closer in age to my son than to me because it was mostly like early 20-somethings. But we got to see the scene. My son was real wide-eyed when he heard all the chants and a lot of the expletives and a lot of the drunken, some shirtless, and many belligerent teenagers and early 20-somethings. They took down a light pole on the plaza, which I wasn't a fan of. Didn't want to see any type of property damage, but that was luckily the extent of it. And my son saw that, saw the guy that was mainly behind it get arrested. And it was a teaching moment for me. I got to show him all these people. I said, hey, don't ever be one of these people. Be happy and celebrate, but don't ever lose control of yourself. Don't ever make it about substances, because most of those people have no idea what the Lightning are and don't even care. They just want to get drunk and in some cases get high. And that's any city's going to have that when you win a championship. But I'm still glad we went down there. It was a cool scene. Most of the people were just very happy and peaceful. It wasn't like widespread destruction or anything like that. And my son got a little bit of a baptism. And he got to do something I never got to do when I was a kid, because I didn't even know how to spell the word playoffs, let alone championship, until I was almost out of high school. So to see the Tampa teams all doing well now, really special. You know, the baseball season's another one where it's been weird. And I was actually fortunate enough to be at the Trop for the two wild card games against the Blue Jays, which the Rays have won. So they're going out to San Diego and doing a bubble thing out there. We'll see what they can do. And we'll see what the Bucks can do. And I'm going to talk about that now. The Free Stretch, of course, is always brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, our good friends, where you can check out the entire inventory on the lot. Huge lot, huge showroom. Social distancing, not an issue. So go check them out in person or go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. And if you don't want to go in person or you don't feel comfortable yet or anything like that, totally fine. They will bring the car to you. Like, they will not just the one you buy, they will bring cars that you want to test drive to you. So if you go on the website and check it out and say, hey, I'd like to see this one, they'll send somebody over with the car to your house, office, or whatever. You can check it out. And same thing if you end up making a purchase, home, office, it doesn't matter. You can do it that way or go see them in person a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Again, the website is BillCurryFord.com. So on Sunday, you know, the day after the Lightning had their first chance to clinch the cup and couldn't quite get there, we come back on Sunday and the Rays are playing their final game of the season, of the regular season, and then the Bucks are playing in Denver. We talked about that Denver game leading up to it on last week's show. You know, that was a Denver team that is, first of all, not that good to begin with, and second of all, has a ton of injuries, and yet you never just say, oh yeah, you're supposed to win. It's tough to win in the NFL. These are cliches, but they're all true. It's tough to win in the NFL, number one. Number two, it's tough to go on the road in the NFL. Number three, it's tough to cross two time zones in the NFL and go get a win. And number four, it's tough to win specifically in Denver, where road teams have it even a little bit harder historically with the home field advantage there. And not just because of the crowd, but because of the altitude and things like that. So you don't take any of this for granted. Like, they went on the road and didn't just win, but they did exactly what you're supposed to do if you're a team of what we believe the caliber of the Bucks to be versus a team of the caliber of Denver. I mean, you're supposed to go out there and not just win, but win decisively. Of course, we're good, they're not, they're hurt. Beat their ass. And the Bucks absolutely did that. No turnovers on the day and multiple turnovers by the defense. And that is the first time they'd done that since November of 2018. A game they also won handily. It was when they beat San Francisco at home by 18 points. And there were lots of things to be excited about. The offense, I mean, again, the offense is still a work in progress, but the red zone continues to be a bright spot. And if, as long as the team is scoring in the red zone, you don't have to light it up necessarily, but if you are converting your red zone opportunities the way the Bucks have, and they continue to do that, the Bucks are going to do really well. It may not be, you know, the highest rated offense in the history of ever or anything like that, but they're scoring points when they get down in there. I thought the offensive line was solid. Donovan Smith, I always want to point out, you know, when people do well that I've criticized, he is for the second consecutive week had a good game. Tristan Wirfs to this point is only allowing a 6% pressure rate so far. And that's through the whole season so far, all three games, not just the one on Sunday. But he's going up against some tough guys like Bradley Chubb this past Sunday. It was Cam Jordan in New Orleans, and he's one of the top 20-rated offensive linemen in the entire league so far as pass-block win rate. He does not allow many pressures. So he did really well. Ollie Marpet's another one who's ranked right now first against the pass, 20th against the rush, but fourth overall by Pro Football Focus as an offensive lineman. And you saw all those things manifest themselves, and that's just the offense. You know, we had the block punt, we had a safety. You know, you make plays like that in a game. Like, if I tell you nothing else about a game before the game other than we're going to block a punt and we're going to have a safety in the game. You're winning that game. Like, you're going to win that game. You're making plays. And the defense, if you look at just EPA per play for this whole team, both for and against, the Bucs defense right now, along with Baltimore, are the top two teams in all the NFL in EPA per play allowed. The offense is sitting right around average right now, which when the defense is doing this is fine, but the defense continues to shine. We have three award-winning defensive players in this month alone. You've got Lavonte David, who was named the NFC Defensive Player of the Month this week. You've got Antoine Winfield, the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Month this week. And then Shaq Barrett, specifically for his efforts in Denver, the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. So Todd Bowles has it going on right now, and this defense has it going on right now. And when I look ahead to this matchup on Sunday against the Chargers, you know, this is a funny thing with this game. There's conflicting reasons to be both optimistic and pessimistic about what's going to happen on Sunday when the Bucs play the Chargers, and I will tell you why. You know, reading about this and looking into this game and looking at some of the more detailed stuff, first of all, to go over the injury situation. We know Chris Godwin is out. He's going to be out a couple games with a hamstring. If that's what it takes to get him right and get him healthy, fine. Let him. But he is out for this one. Then you had Leonard Fournette, who's nursing an ankle, and Scotty Miller with a hip groin thing. Neither of them practiced either on Thursday. I'm recording this on Thursday, so whatever changes, if you're listening to this on Friday or Saturday, this is as of Thursday. But as of Thursday's practice, Godwin, Fournette, and Scotty Miller did not practice on Thursday. Then you've got, and Sean Murphy Bunting too, he's nursing a little bit of a groin thing. I think he's going to be fine. You get the other side of the ball, though, the Chargers. We all know about Tyrod Taylor and what happened with him and the broken rib and the punctured lung when he was getting a shot. So the Chargers and head coach Anthony Lynn have not officially said Tyrod Taylor is out. They're still leaving the door open. But for all intents and purposes, you know, Justin Herbert is going to be the quarterback in this game on Sunday. Now, if you look at the numbers, just matchup-wise, Tyrod Taylor, when he was quarterbacking the Chargers, they had about a 3%, so almost never, a 3% running back pass target rate, which means on all the drop-back passing plays that the Chargers ran, they targeted a running back with their throw all the times they got a throw off, 3% of the time. They almost never threw to the running backs. Since Herbert took over, though, that has shifted dramatically. It's now 25%. So Austin Eckler catching passes out of the backfield is something to keep an eye on a little bit more, in addition to what they have in Keenan Allen and Mike Williams as wideouts. Now, Herbert's a young quarterback. He's learning. You know, he's making his first handful of starts in the NFL. You would expect more checkdowns. You would expect, you know, a little bit more simplicity. Hey, dump it to the running back. But that's not a bad thing for the Bucs, because Lavonte David right now, as I said, your reigning and current NFC Defensive Player of the Month, is a very good linebacker against running back pass routes. And I was looking at some of the numbers here. Lavonte David is eighth in the NFL. He allows, it takes 12.4 coverage snaps per reception allowed by Lavonte David. So he does a pretty good job usually covering running backs out of the backfield. And if the Chargers make that a substantial chunk of their offense, as they have so far since Herbert took over for Taylor, who's more of a veteran guy, then that's something I think Lavonte David should be able to handle and do a pretty good job with. And if you look out on the tips with their receivers, like I was saying, you've got Sean Murphy Bunting. As of now, after three games, he is fifth in the NFL among all corners in yards allowed per coverage snap. Carlton Davis is not far behind him. He's 11th, and they'll go up against Mike Williams, who's kind of nursing a little bit of a hamstring thing himself, which could help out with Carlton Davis handling him, and Keenan Allen as well. You've got a Chargers offensive line that's banged up. They've got guys hurt. If you look at what they're dealing with, Mike Pouncey, Trey Turner, Brian Bulaga, they've all gotten hurt. So they're facing injury issues with Vita Vea and Shaquille Barrett probably licking their lips, getting ready for this game. All these things look good on paper for the Bucs. Now, here's something else, though, that I always try and look at if it lines up. Historical situational things, not just for the Bucs, but league-wide. Okay, and the line on this game right now, and this might move around, but the line I'm seeing is Bucs by 7. So, historically, in the last, whatever it is, 20-something year. We're going back way back here. We're going back years in the NFL. The Bucs do qualify, and this is a gambling point, but it applies to the overall idea of how the Bucs will play this Sunday as well. The Buccaneers apply to a situation of big home favorites coming off winning streaks. There's a big home favorite, they're coming off a two-game winning streak, and that specific situation applies to a record that those teams have over the past few decades. 46-129-2 against the spread, okay? So teams that have played well for a couple games, got it going on, come back home off a big road win, they let down. That's an historical thing. Doesn't mean it's going to happen to the Bucs. I'm just giving you some of the numbers here. 46-129-2. That's against the spread, not straight up. So that makes a difference. But I thought we should all know that. Meanwhile, underdogs that are coming off, this is since 1980. This is a 40-year-old trend here, okay? From 1980 to today. This one applies to the Chargers. Underdogs coming off a straight-up loss as favorites of more than 6 points the previous week, like the Chargers were last week. They're 176-109-10 against the spread in the last 40 years. So, you know, the NFL, here's what I've learned. However something's going, when it's going in one direction, it usually swings the other one pretty soon. So, hey, we're hot. We're awesome. Bucks are finally hitting their stride. We're 2-1. Chargers are on the way down. They're bad. They're hurt, blah, blah, blah. Well, then the next week, the Bucks don't play as well and the Chargers play better. Regression to the mean is what the NFL is all about. More so now than ever, but it's been that way for a long time. And again, this trend goes back 40 years. Another one, the Chargers, going back to 2004, and this is a franchise thing, so I don't even know if this matters so much, but the Chargers, when they lose a close game while favored, you know, are bad, but when they are a road underdog, going back to 2004, they're 50-22-4 against the spread. Just under head coach Anthony Lynn is road underdogs, 9-5-1 against the spread. So again, this is against the spread, which is 7, but I'm just giving you some historical numbers, and I'm giving you reasons why this game could be a close one on Sunday. Because again, looking at it on paper, and I know we got some injuries, and we'll see, you know, with Godwin, we know he's out. Fournette could be back. Not that that's a huge difference maker either way. And Scotty Miller, another one. I mean, if Scotty Miller and Godwin are both out, you look at Tyler Johnson maybe having a chance to make some noise. Either way, these are some things that kind of conflict, because I like the Bucs on paper. The Bucs are a good team. You've also got the whole West Coast team coming east thing. When West Coast teams go to the East Coast, and they don't move the kickoff to later in the day, so it's a 1 o'clock kickoff. That's 10 a.m. on their local body clock. Historically, those teams don't do as well against this. There's a lot of conflicting stuff here, and I don't know how it's going to go, but I do know the Buccaneers have got good players, and I do know the Chargers are a little bit banged up, and I like the Bucs in almost any matchup now. And I said this on last week's show. I mean, the Bucs are a work in progress. I don't want to get too excited about things, but I really think we're just scratching the surface. I mean, what this offense, the way they've been playing, you know, they're figuring it out week to week, and they're still coming along, but when they do get better, and they're going to, I mean, they have too many assets not to get even better. If this defense continues playing how it is, and you throw in an offense that continues to get better and figure it out as the season goes on and get more comfortable with a new quarterback in a new offense and all that, I mean, it feels like we could be sitting on a powder keg here, and I don't want to get too excited about it, because you don't know. You know, everything that has happened so far this season, I mean, not everything, but I mean, they lost the opener to the Saints. But overall, the first three games, I mean, it's been a positive first three games, right? Like, if I had told you before the season started, they're going to be 2-1, tough loss on the road against a good team and a division rival in week one, but they're going to take care of business the next 2 weeks against lesser teams. People are going to win awards. We got NFC Players of the Week, Month, Rookie, all that. Everything has been pretty good so far. It's like a good start to the season, I think we'd all say. But if they don't win this game Sunday, they're just back to 2-2, and they're just another team blending in with everybody else. And so, you know, this is, I don't want to say a trap or anything like that, but you got to watch yourself this weekend, especially knowing the trends and knowing the way these things tend to go historically. I mean, you don't want to throw this one away. This is a team you should beat and get to 3-1. I think it'd be a really good way to start the season. And it's certainly, you know, you look at the standings, which I know don't matter at all right now, but it was all over Twitter when the Saints lost on Sunday night. Like, oh, hey, Was it Sunday or Monday they played? It was Sunday night, I think. And it was, hey, the Bucs are in first place now. The Saints go down to the Packers. Bucs all alone atop the NFC South. That doesn't matter right now. It's only three games into the year. But it is a nice thing to see, especially with the aforementioned success of both the Lightning and the Rays on all of our teams, either at the top or of their whole league or at the top of their divisions in their respective sports. Email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. It's BobbyGameDay. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. You can follow me on Twitter @BobbyGameDay. I love conversing with all of you. And if you want a fridge schedule, I forgot about that. Email me if you want one of those. That will probably, I'll probably stop saying it after this week because that's a quarter of the way through the season. But if you want a beautiful color logo, nice layout, nice schedule for your fridge, you can write the scores on and all that, print it on 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, just email BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. And I will send it to you on the, you know, I'll attach the file and you can print it out wherever you want to. But I do highly recommend color printing for that. So looking at some other news around the NFL, and this was one of the things that I was, admittedly, I got a little lazy with mentally. I thought, okay, we're good with COVID. This is all going to be fine. And that's that. And I still think that. But I will also say it's not surprising to see a game has been not canceled but postponed with the Titans and the Steelers set to play this Sunday. Titans have had an outbreak of COVID. Five players and six team personnel have tested positive so far. And sometimes these things lag, so they've quarantined those guys, but others could continue to test positive in the coming days. We'll see. They were at first going to try and play it, then another guy or two came down with it, so now that game becomes the first in the NFL this year to be moved, and all they've said right now is they're going to play it later in the season. Now, there is a solution for that. You know, with baseball, this is easy. I mean, we had teams quarantining for a week, missing 10 games, what, a week and a half. You can figure that out. You can play doubleheaders down the road. You can tack a few games onto the end. You can squeeze baseball games in, and MLB did it for all the criticism. And everybody making fun of the first couple of weeks and how teams, you know, barely got out of the gate before they had to start quarantining. They got every team to play all 60 games. There was two games, I believe, in the entire MLB season that did not get played, and they weren't pertinent to the playoff race. So they did it. But they can move things around. The NFL, and the way football is a weekly sport. That's the very structure and foundation of football. You play once a week. And there's no, you can't tack it on to the end of the season because the wild card starts the next week. And you can't just tack it on as a doubleheader. Or, hey, we're playing this game on Sunday. Let's fly over to Pittsburgh and play the other one on Monday. You can't do that in football. You need weeks, so you have to get creative. So Tennessee and Pittsburgh could be moved to week 7. That's the Titans' bye week. It's not the bye week for the Steelers, though. They play the Ravens that week. However, both the Steelers and Ravens have a week 8 bye week. So if you move that game to week 8 and move Titans-Steelers to week 7 and give the Titans and Steelers week 4 as their bye week, it works. Like, you can make that work and only affect one other team, not related. Now, what about the Vikings? They played the Titans this past Sunday. And if the Titans have a bunch of guys who are positive, then we got to check out Minnesota, right? Should they be playing? Well, Minnesota has had nothing but negative tests so far. And, you know, when you do these tests, I mean, you can test negative after exposure for up to, I mean, several days, over a week, you know, when the actual test starts coming back positive. So just because they have all these guys positive, or excuse me, negative right now, does not mean that they don't have it. Right now, the NFL's letting the Vikings go through with things. They'll keep testing them, and I suppose that'll all be okay. So, I mean, you know, this is not unexpected, like Roger Goodell said, and so hopefully it gets nipped in the bud, and this is the extent of it. We move a couple of games around, switch a couple bye weeks for a couple teams, and that's that. But if it gets to be a multiple-team thing quickly, then you got to start worrying, you know, and that's a concern, I admit. I hadn't even given it a second thought. I was like, yep, this is going fine. We already saw hockey and baseball pull it off, and basketball, of course, they had bubbles with hockey and basketball. But I was thinking, okay, we're good. It's fine. Everything's going to be fine. I still think everything's going to be fine. But this shows you what can happen and how it can go south real quick. And hopefully, again, this is the extent of all that, because I think right now we're in a good place. The NFL's done a good job. All the sports have done a good job. All the, you know, all the sports really have done a good job. All the can-do people deserve to stand up. And I know why they're can-do people. It's not because of any hardiness or anything like that. It's because of money. You know, people that are not can-do people tend to become can-do people real quick when there's a lot of money on the line. So I know why they've done it, but I don't care. They've done it, and they've done it successfully. And how nice when John Cooper said this at the championship celebration the other night at Raymond James Stadium, which, by the way, I don't know how many of you either got to go to Raymond James for this championship celebration for the Lightning or watch it on TV or whatever. I watched it on the computer. NHL.com streamed it, so I watched it. But John Cooper got up there for his speech, and one of the first things he said, you know, I know it's been a tough year for a lot of people. Some times in the world that are troubling, and you've got the COVID epidemic obviously being the biggest thing. But he said, I hope that we could help put a smile on you guys' face every other night for the past 2 months. And I mean, he was so right. Like, I almost stood up and applauded in my living room. Like, how I'm so appreciative. Not that I'm going to pretend like my life has been so negatively affected by all this. Like, I'm one of the lucky ones so far. But I'm so appreciative of the past 2 months, and not just for the Lightning winning the Stanley Cup, that's obviously awesome, but just having those games, looking forward to them all day. You know, even in the middle of some random Tuesday afternoon, some weekday afternoon, it could be 11 a.m. in the morning or 2 in the afternoon, you're thinking, hey, we got a Lightning playoff game tonight at 8 p.m. And I'd be all day, I'd be happier, I'd be more excited, I'd be anticipatory for that evening. And that is something that, since the Lightning went as far as they did, it lasted for 2 months. I mean, 2 months of that. And so, yeah, I bet you there were a lot of people out there who are going through tough times, or just even if you're not personally going through tough times, this isn't fun. It's no fun to have society like this. It's no fun to have everything tampered down and quarantines and all that stuff. But it put a smile and it put some excitement in a lot of people's lives. And so did baseball. So is baseball, which is going on right now. And so has football season, which I've been looking forward to and was hoping so much that it wouldn't be affected too much. I wish there were fans in the stands, but so far I think it's been pretty good. And watching the game on Sunday with a few fans in Denver was cool. If you're one of the lucky Bucks fans who is going to be there on Sunday, I definitely want to hear from you this coming week after you go to the game. So I guess I'll tweet it out or something at Bobby Game Day. But if you remember, please email me, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com, if you're one of the people going to the Bucks game on Sunday. I did get an email from Peter, who is from Tampa but lived in Austin, Texas for a while, just moved back home. And his family's had Bucks season tickets like since the 90s. So he's one of the ones that's going to get to go to the game on Sunday. And I emailed him back to ask him like if his seats are, you know, are they near where his normal season tickets are, or if he had any say in anything. I mean, you should just be happy to be going to the game. But yeah, it's something I'm curious to see, because I didn't go to the first game. You know, there's only so many media credentials they're giving out with COVID and all the spacing, and I'm not exactly, you know, I'm not a beat writer or something like that that needs to be there for every game. I do hope to cover a game or go as a fan before the season's over. I've never gone a season without seeing a game. But to see them taking that step this Sunday, when initially we thought the first two were going to be without fans, that's a positive step forward. So I'll be interested in watching the game to see if we can detect any difference in the atmosphere or the noise level on TV with just a few thousand people there as opposed to none like it was for the Carolina game. Because I thought, watching like the Thursday night football game at the beginning of the year, the Chiefs and the Texans, which was the first one of all, and then even the Broncos-Bucks one this Sunday, there's been a handful of games with some fans and then some with completely none. And even having 5,000, 10,000 people in there, which obviously isn't a big crowd, but it's still enough to make you feel like there's a crowd there. I think the difference between 0 and 5,000, if this makes any sense, the difference between 0 and 5,000 people is a greater gap than the difference between 5,000 and 65,000. Like, just crossing that binary state of zero fans to some fans, no matter what the number is, at least on TV, it shines through a little bit. And I can't stand the fake crowd noise. I like what Michael Kay of Yes Network, he does the Yankee games, but I don't watch a lot of Yankee games, but I heard a clip or something, and he refers to it as fake noise, which he's like, oh, they're doing, you know, just like fake news. This is the fake noise. I hate the fake noise. And I thought they laid it on too thick at first, especially on the telecasts. The Rays game, too, like being at the Rays game in person Tuesday and Wednesday, the wild card games against the Blue Jays, which was cool to be able to be there. But I thought they were kicking it up too much. It was distracting. Like a crowd, an actual crowd with people, the din doesn't distract you. It's part of the organic experience. But when you know there's some guy with a knob doing the whole thing, and you're trying to like hear yourself think, and it's going, and you can tell he's turning the knob. It's like, dude, just, you know, enough, man. Like, take it down a notch. And it's annoying on TV, too. And we talked about how, I know they don't want to have just silence and all that stuff. But I want to see what it's like this weekend with some people at Raymond James Stadium. So let's get that home field advantage going against what should be a groggy Chargers team on their Pacific time playing what amounts to a morning game for themselves. And hopefully we can have some effect on things. But the main thing, just going to be avoiding a letdown. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, historically in the situation the Bucs are in for this specific game, that can happen. And the same thing in the reverse applies to the Chargers. But so far, so good. And hopefully the Bucs can get the win here and get it to 3-1. As far as the Thursday night game, which again, if you're listening to this, you're probably listening to it after Thursday. But I actually like the Jets to win the game and get their first win against a Broncos team that's down to starting Brett Rippon now, I believe. So you can check me on that if you're listening to this after the fact, and we'll see how it goes. Otherwise, I want to thank, as always, the Joes for giving me the platform to be on the single greatest website anywhere. Actually, the single greatest source of Buccaneer media anywhere, JoeBucksFan.com. Updated constantly all year round. And to me, it's a great opportunity to get in front of all you guys when they post my shows on the website. So thanks to them. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to all of you. Congrats to the Tampa Bay Lightning, your 2020 Stanley Cup champions, your first two-time champion of any of our city or Tampa Bay area teams. And I'll see you guys next week. In the meantime, wherever you are, be safe this weekend. Have a great time. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.